I am not the musical act. Don't worry. Well, good afternoon. I hope you're all well feasted and ready for this. By way of introduction, here are some preliminary comments here. The average American listens to over 32 hours of music a week. That is almost a full-time job. A report by Statista says that Generation Z listens to more music than any other generation. 84% listen to music every single day. And as we're about to experience, music is powerful and it moves you. So I think it is fair to ask, what direction is our music taking us? At New St. Andrews College, we're beefing up our Conservatory of Music to meet this need. Our Conservatory of Music is for students who love music and want to share that passion. The Conservatory makes students fluent in music, in analysis, composition, and performance. Ultimately, they become music leaders. And I think in the spirit of this conference, this idea of keeping your kids, one of the things you should notice is that delight creates loyalty. Your loyalties follow your delights. And I think it's very important to think about the way you cultivate your delights. And music is one of those very important places where you can cultivate that kind of long-lasting loyalty. So undergraduates in the college at NSA can earn a certificate of music simultaneously with their Bachelor of Arts. So the certificate of music goes alongside our BA in Liberal Arts and Culture. The Conservatory also hosts a music camp over the summer for students ages kindergarten through high school seniors. And there's a two-week intensive for music educators. I'd really encourage you to look at our webpage and check out either of these programs. Information about both of those is also available at our booth in the vendor area. There are also, I am told, Reese's Pieces at our booth if you want to pretend you're interested and get some chocolate. Let me also not miss the opportunity to make a fundraising pitch here. We recently bought an old music club on Main Street called Cadillac Jack's, the infamous CJ's, just a few blocks down the road from NSA. It was quite the gem when we bought it. Its mascot was a giant pink drunk bunny leaning on a pool cue. If you go by the back, you'll see the bunnies all over the back of the club. My wife and I have an ongoing debate about whether the artist was really bad or actually really skilled, because he actually managed to capture the fact that these bunnies are intoxicated. You can tell. So I think there's something kind of gifted in his cartoon painting there. Anyhow, our goal is to transform that into an actual a piece of our college, an extension of our college, including the centerpiece being a large theater performance hall where our conservatory can perform. So we're turning it into this music hall. You can decide after you hear the choir, but if you're interested in helping us, I would love to talk with you more about that. So our students, along with Dr. Erb, sacrificed a lot of time preparing this music for us, so please thank them with me as they are about to perform. Thank you.
Thank you. It's good to be with you for this conference. I'm the token short guy. All previous speakers averaged a height of about 6'3". I'm near the podium, no problem for me. But I have an army with me. I'm the little guy, and I've got my army. Seriously, what do you see before you? A choir, small orchestra. 2 Chronicles 20. While the army was back there somewhere, behind, the choir was said to be out in front of the army. And while they were singing praises to God, God routed his enemies. What you see before you is the modern army, the army that lifts up songs of praise, that wields the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. That's what you see before you, not just a choir. So as we begin, let me pray. Lord, I ask your blessing upon this next hour as we sing your word. May what we offer be pleasing in your sight and glorify you, the Father everlasting. May it also edify, strengthen, and encourage those that hear it. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. Amen. Well, nearly 2,000 years ago, a multitude of adults and children were singing the same words that we just began with. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. It's recorded in Matthew 21:9. They were singing from the Psalms, of course. This happened, as you know, when Jesus triumphantly entered the city of Jerusalem riding on a donkey. This particular act of worship infuriated the chief priests and scribes. Now, the whole event made them mad, but according to St. Matthew, they were particularly indignant that the children were crying out as well, i.e. they were singing. These children knew Psalm 118, because they didn't practice, they didn't know this was going to happen. They knew Psalm 118, and they sang it along with the adults in a very noteworthy manner. They knew it, for they were taught it. They sang it at the appropriate time and applied it in an appropriate context. They didn't just pick any song, like, well, I like this song, let's sing it. They sang one that talked about the very thing that was happening at that very moment. They followed after the adults who led the way. Jesus, responding to the rebuke of the leaders of the temple, quotes another psalm, which we just sang, Psalm 8. Have you never read, out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise? So, while we have studied and practiced to do our best before you and the Lord, we hope that God, through his Spirit, would perfect our praise. In keeping with the conference theme, Keep Your Kids, the theme of our concert is Children's Children. You'll find the order of psalms on page 16 in your booklet. If you haven't had it there, and I'll let you know what songs we're doing in order. And we'd ask that you hold your thanksgiving and applause till the end of the sets proper. You no doubt noticed that the choir and the orchestra are made up of people who span approximately 50 years in age. There aren't many things we do in our society where that's true anymore. But I'll talk more about that later. So, as a header to all this, I'd like to say, as a little advertisement, this session comes to you both in truth and with goodness and beauty. So, we'd like to continue with that and sing for you the first three choruses of Handel's Messiah, from Handel's Messiah, The Lord Gave the Word, which is from Psalm 68, verse 11, Their Sound Is Gone Out, from Romans 10, 18, and But Thanks Be to God, 1 Corinthians 15, 57. All three of these focus on the proclamation of the gospel. The choir sang these for the Christ Church Missions Conference, as well as for Sunday worship back in February. And I'd like to point out that these adults and children are not just simply choosing an activity that they like among many others, like sports, drama, all sorts of things that are before us, lawful and wonderful to do. Although they do like it, but what they're doing is getting together to prepare to declare the gospel. They prepare to worship God. They prepare so that they can serve the church, which is the body of Christ. And so it's our delight to labor in this fashion week after week throughout the year. So hear now the word of the Lord as set so famously by Handel. In Psalm 127, we are told that nothing we do shall prosper unless the Lord prospers it. It goes on to show what prosperous and blessed homes and cities look like. In a word, children. The heritage of children is our reward. They are our arrows. They are our strength. They are our happiness with which we engage our enemies, which we don't expect at the end of all that. All the other follows, everyone says, yeah, sure, that's good. With which we engage our enemies. In order to properly train them up for their God-ordained calling to join us in that, the Lord instructs us to teach his word diligently to our children. We see this in the Shema, which we heard about last night, Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9. So we're now going to sing for you Psalm 127, after which we're going to sing the Shema. Then we're going to sing the entirety of the Ten Commandments for you. And then lastly, Jesus' quotation of the Deuteronomy passage in Matthew 22, 37 through 40. So here now, Psalm 127, followed by the Ten Commandments and surrounding material.
Thank you. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength.
You shall love the Lord your God.
Which I command you today shall be in your heart.
You shall teach them to mention things to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as one that's between your eyes. You shall put them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates.
And God spoke all these words.
Yeah.
second is like it.
Shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets.
The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
So I'd like to take a moment to emphasize again that you're listening to a multi-generational choir. It consists of the Christ Church Youth and Adult Choirs and the New St. Andrews College Concert Choir. It's accompanied by the New St. Andrews Orchestra and Friends, which hail from our church community as well as the University of Idaho. 1 Chronicles 25 gives an account of the establishment of worship at the temple under King David. After listing the leaders and noting that the total number of those who were skillful in singing and playing music totaled 288 people, it says in verse 6, quote, "And they cast lots for their duty, the small as well as the great, the teacher with the student." The teacher with the students. As I said before, this is something that occurs too infrequently in our day, in which so much age segregation is rampant, from sports to Sunday morning worship. And there's plenty of times where that's exactly what we ought to be doing, right? But there are many times where perhaps not. Psalm 148 is a glorious song about creation praising its maker. At the end, or the apex of the list, is man. It reads, quote, "Kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His glory is above the earth and heaven." Now listen, this will make you smile. "And he," God, "has exalted the horn of his people, the praise of all his saints, of the children of Israel, a people near to him, praise the Lord." Here we see a glorious description of people of all ages and all stations gathering together to worship God, which is in turn lifted up by God himself. What a privileged place God has provided for us. This is something we really work, I strive for in as many things as we can do in our music, and that's bringing together different ages. There's plenty of times I do not want the 5-year-olds singing with the 45-year-olds because they're not quite ready to sing a Bach cantata. But there are plenty of times where not the 5-year-olds, but the 10-year-olds can. You know, most of the greatest choral music in the history of Western civilization was written for prepubescent boys. We have it all wrong in our day. Those Bach cantatas, all of that, that was written for boys whose voices hadn't changed yet. That is children's music. And we're not doing that across our country. Our children's programs do not do Bach. They do not do Handel. There are some that do, but you know what I'm talking about. Well, where was I? I digress. I guess we'll sing for you. When in doubt, let's sing. Singing is better than talking. No, not. Well, sometimes it is. It's more glorious. Okay, so we're going to sing for you Psalm 148, which is listing just all creatures of all kinds praising God, and then finally the apex with all people praising the Lord. Psalm 148.
Praise him, all these angels, praise him, all these hosts, praise him, Son and
Psalm 128, which we sang in a metric version at the beginning of the conference, is a beautiful poem about a blessed and faithful man. Such a man is content with his work, his provisions, and his home. His fruitful wife is at the center of his house, and they are both surrounded by their children like olive plants around the table. The psalm concludes with a prayer that we would see our children's children. The implication being, of course, that they would continue in this blessedness, which would then be a sign of God's blessing and peace upon his people. As Proverbs 17:6 says, children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children is their father, as Luke reminded us last night. In Paul's letters to the Colossians and Ephesians, Paul describes how husbands and wives, fathers and mothers and children are to live together in the Lord. We see the signs of God's blessing as we walk in his ways and put on Christ. Colossians 3:12-17 and the parallel passage in Ephesians describes this Christian adornment by the elect of God. Like Luther and Calvin and so many other church fathers, I love to point out that in this passage, the teaching component of the passage, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another, then follows with, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. The memorization of God's word and being filled with the Spirit is to be done in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. It's the vehicle, it's the tools that God has given us. You'll notice that almost everything that we're singing this afternoon is God's word, straight out of the Bible. And most of it's memorized. This is purposeful. This is God's design feature. Yet, in my experience, there are so many in the church who continue to try to memorize God's word without singing it. It's so much harder. Have you ever tried to memorize the collected work of Bob Dylan without ever having heard the music? Or any fill in the blank, any other artist? Even of pop, I'm not talking about Schubert here, just a pop artist. Have you ever tried to memorize the collected works of somebody without ever hearing the song? Of course not. Nobody does that. Nobody, nobody, nobody. Except Christians with God's 150 songs that he gave us in the middle of his Bible. Now, there isn't an album you can go out and just plug them all in, but there are options out there. I guess it's a conference I can pitch. Many of the psalms you've heard, I've written. I've written 50 of the psalms straight out of the Bible. You can, if you want to start to sing them, they're on the Canon Press book table back there. You can buy things other than books at a conference like this. You can buy music because we're called to sing the word, not just read about it and have good exegetical understanding of it all. We're actually supposed to sing it. And I'm very excited to say that somewhere in the next week or two, those 50 psalms will be up and available on Spotify, iTunes, all those places where you find music out in the cyber world. That's not where I live, but I have heard about them. At any rate, God has set before us a much easier path that is altogether delightful. That is to sing. From the Pentateuch to the historical books, to the Psalms, to the prophets, to the Gospels, to the Epistles, to Revelation, we are called to sing. So as I say so often, we are not here as a performing ensemble to entertain you or to provide a beat for you to tap your toe to and smile. Although you can smile, and if you tap your toe, just don't do it too loudly in case you're not with us. But rather, we are here to teach and admonish you via singing, as God has called us to do. And so we'd like to continue in this vein by singing to you Psalm 128 and the passage from Colossians 3:12-17, which tells us to do what I was just talking about.
Thank you. elect of God, holy and beloved.
Earlier this year, the choirs prepared to participate in and musically lead the inaugural ACCS Northwest Choral Festival, initiated by my good friend Kent Young and the Oak School up in Spokane. The theme was Sing for Joy. This event was designed to be in the Christian tradition of the choral festival, in which choirs from many different places and of differing ages prepare ahead of time to sing for and with one another. Now, God ultimately decided that the festival would need to be postponed until next year, as he sent a boatload of snow at that time. He pulled out one of his famous lines, "Wait." Nevertheless, we did prepare, and we are excited for this to launch in the coming year, God willing. This event is one of many which we are involved in at various levels. Ben mentioned some before we began. There's the summer music camp, which is for grades K through 12. Even graduating seniors are welcome. It's a week-long intensive music camp in which we sing this kind of music, and we learn it very quickly and perform a concert. And we have classes in Bible taught by Pastor Wilson and Pastor Sumter and other faithful men and women from the church. They do pretty intensive art projects designed by Mrs. Sarah Apple and Josiah Nance did last year. We dance heartily with one another. It's a great camp. I often say it's what VBS really ought to be. It's reformed, robust VBS. Not quite like the thing I asked them not to put over our heads while we're singing, the cartoonish version. We don't do cartoons at our camp. Sorry. I like the picture, it's fun. But, anyway, going on, lest I digress too much. We also started last summer, and we'll continue this summer, the ACCS National Honor Choir for high school students. Students must audition for that to be accepted in it, and then they are sent music, which they're to prepare ahead of time, and we gather for a couple of days, prepare it quickly, and then perform it at the end of the ACCS conference. We had a wonderful start last year and are looking forward to doing that again this year in Atlanta. Also, there's the Certificate of Music program, which Ben mentioned, starting to help to train up future leaders. And in tandem with that, the Chenaniah Summer Music Institute. Chenaniah was leader of all the musical Levites, it says in 1 Chronicles, because he was skillful. And we honor him and remember him as one of our musical church fathers. And so the Lord tells us that students will be like their teachers, and so we need to be training up our music teachers to be skillful in what they do, to understand a pedagogy, to have a goal other than let's teach the kids some songs and to be happy and to tap their toes. We want them to be happy. We're glad for them to tap their toes. But we want them to have the same kind of education in music that they get in literature, in Bible, in history, in Latin. Serious, robust. Music is not the fun thing on the end. It is actually quite wonderfully fun. But the work to get there is daunting. So, the pieces we're going to sing now for you are the three pieces that were the group pieces for the festival that wasn't, other than in our hearts. But we'll sing them for you now. They all speak about singing for joy. Handel Chorus, Psalm 67, which is a chiasm, and the music reflects that chiasm, and right in the center of the chiasm is, "Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy." And then we'll sing Beethoven's concluding chorus from his oratorio, Christ on the Mount of Olives.
Sing.
Thank you. That's fun. Sing for joy indeed. Now we need the oxygen like the football players. You ever notice the choir? They're breathing. They never need oxygen. They never go off to the sideline. Like, I need a sub, please. More on that in just a minute. So the musical training, which we do via NSA's Scholl Cantorum classes, the summer music camp, the music colloquium, the conservatory music, these are not for the special few who are interested in or particularly gifted in music. God does gift. But it's not for those people only. Rather, it is for all God's people who are all called to sing praises to him. Our paradigm of Christian music education might be better viewed as a branch of the Bible, liturgical studies, evangelism, and discipleship departments, as we learn, study, memorize, proclaim, and exhort God's word. This is what we're doing and why we're doing it. It's not the music club for the music kids, or as we said in public school, the music geeks, which I was a card-carrying member. I played sports too, and I talked to you outside afterwards, but I don't think there's any bigger sports fan than me in the room. The paradigm in which music is considered as a non-core elective for those interested in music must not be our model. It is not biblical. God does not call... I'm going to say this, and I love everything, and I love all God's people to do these things. But as I read the Bible, he does not call all people that on earth do dwell to Latin, mathematics particularly, make sure you get to calculus or you can't go to college, art, drama, athletics, etc. He does call all people to sing and make music. And not just any music, but he first and foremost calls us to sing his songs, 150 of them right in the middle of the Bible. I'm not an exclusive psalmist at all. But we ought to start with what God calls us to and do that first. And then, you ever had with your children, you command them to do something and then they want to do something else that they think is loving you, but no, you need to obey me first in the thing I called you to do right now. Then you can do that other thing. That other thing's good, I want you to do that too, but right now do this first. He gave us songs to sing. He gave us other biblical canticles and his word in general. Remember, the enemies of God are enraged at God's people singing his word in proclamation and praise. They do not get too riled up about the church softball team or other such activities. They just don't. I'm all for a church softball team. What you see before you is a beautiful picture of the body of Christ, in which the older and wiser disciple the younger and less mature, helping them learn what it is to become more mature and Christ-like. We want to keep our kids, and as was pointed out last night, we also have to send our kids. And when we do, we want them to be well-equipped so that they would be able to stand and withstand against the wiles of the devil and this evil day, as we read in Ephesians 6. And so every week, we sharpen them and we prepare them to become warriors who can sing skillfully, combining strength and song, power and beauty. They need to be sharp darts, jarts, and arrows. No Velcro, no Nerf. No soft, feel-good, warm and fuzzy music either. This is why we train up saints to become musicians who are musically literate, discerning, and skillful. This is why we emphasize the singing of God's word, because it is a powerful two-edged sword. And man's word, while we should do it too, is not given that place or that power. This is why we like to make music and worship together. We don't send the kids off. We do it together. This is why we do it purposefully, seriously, robustly, and joyfully, giving thanks to God the Father through our Lord Jesus Christ. May God use all of it to glorify his name, to extend his peaceable kingdom, and allow us to see our children's children walking faithfully in the land to 1,000 generations. So we're going to conclude now as we began by singing settings from Matthew 21 and Psalm 118 and Psalm 8. Before you is a small multitude gathered to declare in song the excellence of the name of the conquering hero, the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings, the Son of David, the Son of God, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.